Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 45. Why was Christ's resurrection so critical for you? And may God bless our time in his words. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if Jesus were raised from the dead today, it would be all over Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and WhatsApp and, you know, all the other social media platform today. Can you imagine how many would be retweeting this? He was dead and he's alive. How many would be following this story? How many likes that story would get on Facebook? How many shares? It would have been an incredible story. And the language we use today, it would have broken the internet. Rare things are appealing. But then the next story would show up. There'd be a dancing bear or cats playing with something, and people are drawn away to that. And the resurrection would disappear from the headlines for the dancing bear or the cat playing with a ball of string. Because that's how the world is. But you must view Christ's resurrection differently. It was not just a one-off thing that happened and we push it aside. Christ's resurrection was more remarkable to you because through Christ's resurrection, you received the essential blessing for your present existence and for your future experience. Christ's resurrection is not simply a story of amazement, but it has eternal benefits. And you will hear today about the resurrection benefits for you. Our headings are 3. You gain righteousness or justification by Christ's resurrection. You gain a renewal life or sanctification by Christ's resurrection. And you gain resurrection or glorification because of Christ's resurrection. Our goals are that being reminded of Christ's resurrection benefits to you, that you will embrace them more and serve him better. Now, our question for today. Question 45. How does Christ's resurrection benefit us together? First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death so that he might make us share in the righteousness he won for us by his death. Second, by his power, we too are already now resurrected to a new life. Third, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection. So first of all, you gain righteousness or justification by Christ's resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead to show his full power over death. Death's sting was removed. Death lost its sting. Sin stung man with physical and spiritual death. But Jesus took sin in his body and soul and paid the price and then rose up. So he pulled out death's sting. A wasp is scary, but if you remove the sting, it is harmless. Oh, it might still look kind of scary, but you don't have to worry. Not even a tiny amount of death sting remains for the believer today. Now, while Jesus was fully human, he was also divine. So this meant that he could take the sins of the whole world on the cross. His death was of infinite value, and therefore, his resurrection is of infinite value. But Jesus did not take the sting of death for all men. He took the sting of those who believed in him. It's only through him that we have everlasting life. Other people will have to take the sting of death for themselves. They will have to leave this world in a panic and then go to that eternal death in hell. But look at 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57 together. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting is gone. So because Jesus took your sting, death no longer has dominion over you. He fulfilled the covenant of grace. And this is why physical death does not put fear into Christians. If you're afraid of dying, we need to talk. You need to understand what death does. Because death is ushering you into that life of perfection, the life freed from worries. That's why Christian can smile at death. 1 Corinthians 15, again, 17 through 20 together. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. Because he rose, you will be raised. And as I often say, there's not a person who is in heaven today who says, I want to go back to Scarborough. Not even the best part of Canada, for that matter. He will still say, not a chance. Why? Because of the glorious resurrection and what that means. And that's why Christians are not afraid of death. See the benefits of knowing this doctrine? He's not just saying, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And it's important to know doctrines. Too many people limit their Christianity to, well, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I'm a Christian. Well, know the full doctrine. You see how this doctrine takes away worries? You see why Christians don't panic about COVID or any other disease for that matter? Oh, we don't try to die, but if death comes, we don't leave this world with regret. That's for the world, not for us. Second, because of Christ's resurrection, you are freed from all sins and you're declared righteous by your Heavenly Father. Now, someone might say, well, I wasn't born yet. How could Jesus take the sting of my sin? Or some people before Jesus, they would have died already. How could Jesus take their sin? Well, the answer is God is not limited to time as you are. God sees everything as if it were happening at the same time. You think in a linear way, yesterday, today, tomorrow. God knows everything for all times. So it's not hard to count Christ's death 2,000 years ago as being valid for people who would live 2,000 years later or live 2,000 years before. He counted Christ's death as yours, and he counted his resurrection as yours. So Christ took your punishment, and then the Father says, you're clean. Romans chapter 4, verse 23 through 25. Together, now it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall not be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Now it was not written for his sake alone. It was written for us. That Jesus was raised for you so that you will be declared clear of all sins. This means you never have to die, not spiritually, and for sure you can never be separated from God. That justification clears your record of your past, present, and future sins. Whatever your covenant keeper acquired, he put to your account. See, that's why Abraham was put in this deep sleep. And the Lord Jesus walked between those cut pieces of meat back in Genesis. Because he couldn't do it. The Lord had to go through those meat and say, may this happen to me. if those people, Abraham and co, broke the law. And Jesus had to suffer that way. Now, of course, if Adam had passed the test, you would have been confirmed in righteousness forever, as we've looked at recently. But the second Adam, he passed the test. He went through what he should so that you could be secured forever. And now, even though you are declared righteous, you still feel the effects of sin. So you say, where did the sin, if you're declared righteous, how can you still feel the effects of sin? Well, you have to remember that justification is a judicial declaration. It's a declaration that you're not guilty. You're cleared from any punishment for that sin. It's not saying you still don't have sin within you. You still have the effect of sin in your life. But when God makes that declaration, he sees the end product. You know, I'm always amazed when I see my wife hold a piece of cloth and talks about the dress. And it just looks like a silly piece of cloth to me. And then there are cuts and there are stitches and maybe a few rips here and there, and you put it back, and then there's a dress. I can't see that. God sees it that way. That's how God sees you, because he's not bound by time. He sees the end product of your life. Or to put it in simpler terms, everyone here has probably been to IKEA. When you look at the box, what comes out of the box, you think there's no way. But what does God see? He doesn't see all those jumbled pieces. He sees the finished product. He sees it all assembled. Or a jigsaw puzzle. You turn those 1,000 pieces there and say, this is not going to get done. I don't know what this looks like. And then finally you see it put up on a wall and look so beautiful because it's all framed in. That's how God sees us. And that's why he's able to say, and you're clear. You're free of all your sins. Now, what about some people today who deny this resurrection and that it's necessary for salvation? We have a similar name. We are called the United Reformed Church, but there's a church called the United Church of Canada. Many of them don't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And it is madness to say that you are a Christian but not believe in the resurrection. That is what the verse that we just read. The Apostle Paul was saying, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you have an empty faith and you are to be pitied. You're pathetic. But why is it that some people want to deny the resurrection? It's there in the Bible. The Lord was raised. Many accounts of it. Many promises of it. Many people looking back and talking about it. Well, they don't believe, they don't feel the need to believe in the resurrection, because they've come up with alternative imaginary means of salvation. And one of the biggest ones is what is called the moral influence theory. And this theory sort of goes like this. It says that Christ came to set a good example for people to follow. The moral influence influences you to be moral people. This popular teaching comes at the expense of teaching about the resurrection and why it was necessary. This teaching says you must care for the sick. You must feed the poor. You must give until it hurts. You must be willing to die for others. You must eat healthy. You must eat nuts and berries and no white sugar and all of that. That's how they view salvation. Living a good life, moral life. And they would say, like this, if Jesus did it, and Jesus was the best, then who wouldn't say Jesus was the best? So if Jesus was the best, whatever he did, we should do. And that's how you're supposed to get good. That's how you're supposed to be saved. So the moral influence theory sacrifices the resurrection. It seeks to gain righteousness by doing right things rather than receiving the perfect obedience and death of Jesus as their own. That's the huge difference. It's not what you can do. It's what Jesus does for you. It's what Jesus does for you. But you not only gain salvation or justification, You gain a renewed life or sanctification by Jesus' resurrection. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, you not only have his righteousness credited to your account, you also have a renewed life. That's the sanctification we talked about earlier. And this was necessary. After all, what sense would it make if you were given the credit of Christ's righteousness, declared justified, but did not have the new life to enjoy what Christ did for you? But your sins were nailed to the cross, and you bear them no more. You're liberated from them, and you're able to live better. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, together, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is not speaking of heaven, where the Lord will come and take us. This is speaking of that spiritual realm where we are now, our lives now, that we are able to have new life and enjoy that life now. The Apostle Paul then encouraged you, based on your spiritual resurrection in Christ, that you should show works, good works, works that show you understand the greatness of your new life. Where does sanctification lead? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this, together, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, this is going all the way to heaven or to your death. Till you die, you will have that cleaning out process, that growing up process, that maturing process. And what is the implication for you now that you have that life? That you have that sanctification taking place in you? One more passage, Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. You also will appear with him in glory. So this means that you must not live as a refugee, begging for a place to live and the means for living. You have been given new life. Oh, maybe you don't have a lot of financial resources. Maybe you're not as powerful as the next guy or as good-looking as the next guy. But you have something that you already have, that eternal life, that new life. You should live like a prince or a princess of the Most High God. You can claim God's promises. Who has the right to that? My children can't come and claim your property. They have no right to it. We can claim what God has for us, that Jesus Christ accomplished for us. He earned for us. We can enjoy hope in a world that is hopeless, where suicides are up and up and up. We have hope. You can enjoy the eternal and internal peace. Peace in your heart, because your name is written in heaven. And no one can take that away from you. There's no passport to go there. It's free. The price has been paid in Jesus Christ. Nobody will block you. You've got what it takes. You can live in his love. What is it that makes people go on? What is it that makes a husband or wife do what they do, all the hard work, because they love each other? And when you know the Lord loves you, you can live in that love. You can live spreading that spiritual wealth that God's given to you. You are wealthy beyond imagination. You have the words of life. You have the antidote for man's poison. You can share that gospel with others. That's a full life right there. And maybe you're not preaching, but you can pray that the word that goes out will be blessed. That whole life can be that way. What do you do when you're stuck in Toronto traffic? I'm sure Severn is thinking, oh, I got to go and hit the traffic out there. So what do you do? If you focus on that, well, you're going to be overwhelmed. I tried my best to spend that time praying. You know why? Because I have access to God. I have the greatest person in the universe that I can talk to, and he listens to me. Why wouldn't I do that? I can live that way, that sanctified life. Don't let sin conquer you. Christ died, you're justified. Died and rose again, you're justified. Christ died and rose again, you're sanctified. Use your spiritual weapons to fight. Go to Ephesians 6 and learn how to use those weapons that God has given to you. You're rich. You're chosen by the Father. You were redeemed by the Son. You were sealed by the Spirit for eternity. Now walk in a way of love, as you see in Ephesians 4 and 5. But it doesn't end there. There's one more. You gain resurrection or glorification by Christ's resurrection. He justifies you, brings you into his kingdom. He sanctifies you, he helps you to grow. And then in the end, because of his resurrection, you too will be raised. So if you received Christ's righteousness, justification, and even if you enjoyed, a renewed life in this world, which is sanctification, you then wait for heaven, which is glorification. And if there were no glorification, men would want to live wickedly, self-seeking, seeking their own pleasure, their own profit. But now you are assured, because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that you too will be gloriously raised from the dead after you die. So what happened to all those Christians who died from COVID? You think they're saying, I want to be back on earth? No. They've got the body that will last forever. There's no insomnia. There's no heartaches, no headaches. No one needs bypass surgery. No one needs an eye doctor. Why? Because they will have that perfect body. They're raised from the dead. Consider the details of benefits that you get from the second resurrection because of Christ's resurrection. And it's called the second resurrection because when you came to faith, that's new life, that's considered your first resurrection. All of those things. You know there's no sadness in heaven? No sadness. What is life like without sadness? There's no hunger in heaven. There's no jealousy. There's no backbiting. Nobody will be that way. You don't have to call the kids twice for them to listen to you in heaven. Won't that be something? Good enough reason to go right now. Huh? They'll listen. Everyone will be at peace. Why? Because they have that new life. And it's almost like you want to say, Lord, when can I come home? When can I come to enjoy the wonderful blessings of heaven? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 now. Together, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's reserved. We're in heaven. The first Adam failed to secure paradise for you, but the second Adam earned heaven for you. And you'll be united with him so you can have heaven as well. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Together, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He will transform our lowly, ordinary, sickly bodies, cursed by sin, and we will have our citizenship in heaven. One more, 1 John 3, verse 2, together. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To be like Jesus. What a wonderful thought. Now, the guarantee you have of your resurrection is from one who has the ability to do what he promised. Right? Don't expect me to fix your computer or your car. Find out people who can do that. When Jesus said, I'll take you to heaven, you know he will do it. One of the modern things in Toronto area is that you've got these people who come out and they're selling air conditioners, and they'll give you a 10-year warranty. And then 3 years later, you try to find their company, it's gone. They change name and they register. They're not there. They will not honor what they said if you have a problem with your air conditioner and it breaks down. But Jesus had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. And what he said he will do, you can trust him. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, together. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a blessing. He's going to come and take us to be with him. It's sad for the Sadducees, as we often say, who rejected the resurrection altogether. They were pitiable. They lived only for this life. They were very much like many people we have today, like Jehovah's Witnesses and some of the Seventh-day Adventists. They believe in annihilation. When you die, you cease to exist. But what kind of life would that be? In fact, if there was no life after death, why would you want to be here? It's just living for the here and now. But we think of something greater. And we're preparing for that greater thing, when we will be with all of God's people from all the ages to worship him. Let's conclude. You are united in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. So your loving Father credited what Jesus achieved to your account. By his resurrection, you're credited with justification. You're declared righteous. By his resurrection, you're credited with sanctification, resulting in a renewed life, where you get cleaned out, you get better and better, you're able to obey him. By his resurrection, you're credited with your own resurrection after you die, so you can enter into glory and shed this veil of clay. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Jesus paid it all for you. With these rich benefits from Christ's resurrection, are you thankful for them? I know we like to thank God for, we got a wife, we got a child, we got a new job, we got some money. It's easy to thank God for that. But what about this? You have stopped and thanked God for saving you? Or you just take it for granted? I hope you take the time to do so. And that is part of the prayer you teach your children. And then live victoriously. Not only thank him, but live victoriously and fulfill your responsibilities, knowing that you will never have to worry about your sins. You know, sometimes you do some work and you say you have something in the back of your mind. You don't have to worry about it. The sins are all paid for. And then fourth, when you struggle with sin, when you struggle with sickness or worries or indifference, you can confess your sin and receive Christ's forgiveness. You don't have to sweep sin under the rug. All your sins have been paid for. And then think of heaven. Think of that time when all these troubles will be gone. What a wonderful day that will be. But if you're not a Christian in here today, or you're listening to this online, and you reject Christ's resurrection, I pity you. I pity you because I know you will have to die for your sins in the worst possible way, in the eternal fires of hell. But I also love you, and more important, the Lord loves you. And he says, if you knock and invite him in, he will come in and have fellowship with you, and that fellowship will last forever. God will count the sting of your sin on Jesus, and he will justify you, and he will sanctify you, and he will glorify you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that Jesus was raised for us. May we never, ever forget this message, lest we rob ourselves of victorious life and we rob you of your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.